Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I have diagnoses or whatever you want to call them. There's 70 of them. With EDS, when you stretch your skin, it rips. I broke bones just taking my shoes off. I dislocated joints every day, sometimes two or three joints I would dislocate in a day. I thought, this is what I deserve for being heavy. I got two messages. You would be so pretty if you would just lose weight. And then the other thing is that, you know, if you would just lose weight, you wouldn't feel bad. You wouldn't hurt. Trust me, I've been on every diet that probably has ever been. And not a single one of them helped me with my depression. Carrie, for probably a good 15 years of my life, I was suicidally depressed daily. I don't have any children. I'm not married. What am I alive for? I used to think, well, your mother was right. You didn't try. You were late. And just the fact that I can have compassion for myself, just that is so major to me, because I hated myself, Carrie, so bad. Just, I hated every ounce of my being. And it was all false. I didn't have to hate myself, but I had just gotten to the point of being depressed so long, not recognizing it when it began. And the only reason I never took my life is because...
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today, I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed and honored to welcome Amy Hosp to the channel. Welcome, Amy. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to share.
I'm excited to hear more of your story. I've heard a brief version of it at one of our Healing Humanity meetups, and you've just been incredible. I'm so blessed going on this journey, filming this documentary, going to all these meetups, and the biggest blessing is meeting all of these people, meeting so many just really, really good people that have big hearts, and you are one of them. So I'm really looking forward to sharing your story. Maybe, Amy, if we could, what was your life like before you found the carnivore diet? And feel free to go back as far as you'd like.
Well, it all started on a rainy, stormy night when I was born. No, I'm just kidding. Far back. And thank you. That's very sweet things to say about me. But yes, it was very much, life was very, very hard for me physically, not because of my home life or anything, but because of the illness I have. I have a handful of rare genetic disorders, and it's not so much that they're rare, it's the combination of them together that are rare. And my list, I can't wait to show my list and see people's reaction to how many problems that I have. Diagnoses or whatever you want to call them. There's 70 of them.
Wow. So,
but what I have is called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and it's like the motherboard of everything that's ever been wrong with me. And maybe I would have had some of these problems if I didn't have this disorder, but I know that because of this disorder, it's almost like just, you know, fair play for anything to happen. And so if I happened to live on a planet with people that only had Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I would be so normal. This would not even be an issue. I mean, I would be normal. But since I don't, doctors don't know how to treat the conditions I have. They, a lot of times, have never even heard of the conditions that I have. And they're getting more and more well-known because they're getting more and more diagnosed and not overlooked. But the gaslighting from doctors, it's all in your head. You're too young to have that kind of pain. You know, all that kind of stuff made life very hard. I wasn't even diagnosed until my mid-40s. And that's common with this, but I was the kid that was bendy and could do the, we call them party tricks, you know, bend your arms all different ways. And it's so popular that, I mean, it's, I say popular, meaning that a lot of people have this and they just don't realize that they have it because it looks like so many other things. So I ended up I've been overweight my entire life, extremely overweight my entire life, which with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, it doesn't mean that you're going to be heavy or too skinny or just in the middle, but it can affect greatly your ability to metabolize what you eat and the different things. First of all, it's a collagen disorder. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is a collagen disorder. I don't make good collagen. If you think about a wicker chair, and if you've seen one that's old and starting to fall apart, you know, all the wicker is like this, but as it gets older, it kind of starts doing this, you know, and wrinkling and not holding together. And so collagen is glue that holds you together. So if you had a stick house made of glue and the glue started coming off and the stick started doing this, what's going to happen to that stick house? It's just going to fall apart and crumble. And that's exactly what collagen does in my body. The collagen I make is faulty collagen. There's nothing that will ever fix that. What I do with carnivore is support the poor collagen that I have. And it's made a huge difference. So I'll talk about that in a minute. It's made a huge difference. But I also, with that, have postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. What that means is that when I stand up, your blood's supposed to come up to your heart and your head. Mine goes the opposite direction and it gets trapped down there for two reasons. One, that's because that's what POTS does. And two, my veins and muscles don't have enough strength to get that blood to pumping back up to my head and brain. So, and to my heart. And so by the time my muscles decide that they can get it as far up as they can, I'm dizzy, I'm out of breath, I'm sweating. My blood pressure is either sky high or it's dropped. My heart rate, same thing, very high or has dropped. And generally you pass out. And unfortunately, because of COVID, a lot of women now, I don't know about guys, I hear it more in women, are having issues with having now POTS. And it's a really sad thing, but it's getting some treatment finally because more and more people are turning up with it. So in a way it's encouraging because there is hope. The only thing that I have found that has helped me the most, I have one drug that I took that helped me with POTS, but it made me have to go to the restroom like every 15 minutes. And it was totally unbearable to, I mean, honestly, I could have just moved into the bathroom, I guess. So carnivore has definitely helped my POTS. What POTS did for me is it won me, like, my prize for having POTS was getting a wheelchair. Had to use a wheelchair everywhere that I went. I did not use it in my home for two reasons. My home is a little smaller, but two, every time that I put my wheelchair in or out of my vehicle, I injured myself. Why? Because with the collagen disorder, I dislocated joints every day, sometimes two or three joints I would dislocate in a day. And I'm not talking about just, I jammed my finger, literally would dislocate something. I don't know if the last time you dislocated anything, but, or if you have ever dislocated a joint,
no.
Extremely painful. But with EDS, you don't not know that pain. So you just kind of put it back together and, you know, kind of baby it for the day. Literally, we're EDS people are so strong because of stuff like that. But I didn't use my wheelchair inside because every time I put it in my car, I would dislocate a finger or my wrist or sometimes my shoulder. And every time I took it out, same thing. I would, you know, or hit my leg with it and have a really bad bruise. So, but I was in that chair for 5 years. And I remember the day that I took my chair out for the first time and I went to a park. And it was like riding a go-kart. When I was a kid, I had a go-kart. And this wasn't a cart, like a cart at Walmart. This is a full-fledged wheelchair. But I thought how much freedom it opened my life up. And I think back to how exciting that was to have the ability to go to the park if I wanted to, or to go to the mall, or go to the grocery store. and not have to worry about, is there going to be a place to sit down? Am I going to get overheated? Am I going to have to call an ambulance? Am I going to make it home? You know, and compared to what my freedom is now, because I was on carnivore for about 2 months, maybe 2.5 months, and I was able to put my wheelchair in storage, and I haven't had it back out yet, and I haven't needed it since. So that's a miracle. That's freedom. And I think how sad that I thought getting that chair was freedom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that I am not using the chair anymore. I still have a lot of heart conditions. One thing I like to say is that BC, before carnivore, and AD, during Amy during carnivore, because I am in the middle. I've sometimes think about how much weight that I need to lose, but I didn't do this for weight loss because I've had an eating disorder. And shockingly enough, I've had both overeating and anorexia. I never was a skinny anorexia, but it is possible to be overweight and have anorexia, just because eating disorder, it just makes you ashamed to eat and things of that nature, you know? And so that's one thing that I learned with carnivore. I learned to see food as nourishment instead of guilt or punishment. And that's been a huge help for me mentally and emotionally, and getting my mind in the right place, you know, because with eating disorder, you know, you eat out of guilt and you eat out of shame, which only causes more guilt and shame. You know, it's a vicious cycle. So seeing food on carnivore as nourishment has helped me also stick to carnivore, because it's been the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. Just as an example of how awful my life was before carnivore, I couldn't stand up long enough to fry an egg. And so I learned how to cook them in the microwave so I could actually sit down in the 1.5 to 2 minutes that I needed to sit down in order to cook the egg, right? Everything was a struggle. And it was like playing Tetris with my life. Everything I wanted to do, I had to arrange something over here or something over there to be able to get my body to be able to do this or that. The fatigue that I had, I still have a lot of fatigue, and there's also a reason for that. But I have lost 70 pounds so far on carnivore. My weight loss is slow and consistent, and I like that. I honestly think that if I lost all the weight I needed to at one time, or got all the healing that needs to happen all at one time, I honestly think my body would go into shock and I would die. What's so different? This is awful. This isn't life, you know? So I have a great sense of humor about all of this, because if I didn't, I would just cry all the time about, you know, my things. That was the other part. Depression. I hear a lot of people talking lately about depression. I'm still very emotional about it. And I remember what Emma said about, you know, your daughter, Emma, how depression, that she just didn't want to live anymore, and how sad that makes you, because that's what every single doctor, every adult in my life told me. I got two messages. You would be so pretty if you would just lose weight. Well, that really helped my self-esteem. I must be awfully ugly if that's the case. And then the other thing is that, you know, if you would just lose weight, you wouldn't feel bad. You wouldn't hurt. You could go run and do, you know, none of those things were true. But I believed them hook, line, and sinker. It became my core belief. And it took a really long time, to lots and lots of counseling, to get those beliefs out of my head. But you know what? About a month on carnivore, I remember the day that a curtain just like it literally opened up over my eyes. I was like, well, hello world. And where's that depression? It was gone. I mean, it was just gone. And when there's a situation that would depress anybody, like normal people, I'll get a little depressed. But the difference is, before, maybe I went out and I can't go somewhere because I have a flat tire. Well, this is a daily thing that happens. You know, this is what happens in our daily lives. And so what would most people do? Well, they would change a tire, call somebody to change the tire, arrange for a wrecker to come get your tire, I mean, your car, and take it. You know, you just make arrangements, right? It's no big deal. It's a little lump in the day. Not for me. It was, I don't have the energy to, the brain energy or the physical energy to certainly couldn't have changed the tire myself, but to even arrange to have it done. And so from there, the next thought was, well, if I wasn't so fat, oh yeah, that's not true. Well, I guess it is true because that's what they always told me. And if I didn't have EDS, I could take care of this. And I don't even know why I'm alive. My parents are dead. I don't have any family that contacts me. I don't have any children. I'm not married. What am I alive for? I'm just going to wake up and hurt all day tomorrow and have the same. And I would just want to not be alive. Now, with carnivore, gosh, I go through those logical steps of, okay, well, first of all, I need to call and let them know I'm going to be late for my appointment. Second of all, I need to call and see if AAA coming, or am I going to have to call a wrecker to come do this? Do I have a friend that's home that can come help? Do you know what I'm saying? And it's changed my whole life. Just that helps me deal with the physical things as well. Cause now I can reason out solutions that.
Right. I'm so happy to hear that you've overcome the depression. That's the reason I'm so passionate about this, seeing it in my daughter and my own experience with it. I had the same thoughts and feelings that you did. Like, this is just me. There's something wrong with my brain. There's just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just you. I can hear your emotion when you talk about the depression too. It's there's like a kinship, I don't know, with people that have gone through it, because there's a lot of people that do carnivore, a lot of people that are, they'll say, yeah, I've had depression too, but I don't know. There's a difference between being sad here or there, or having this deep depression where you just don't want to be alive anymore. And I think a lot of people that don't experience that don't understand the extent of it. Like, you've gone through so much suffering with 70 different diagnoses, and it seems like the depression was one of the larger ones for you, which is pretty incredible when you think about it.
Well, and it's so important to not be depressed and let that rule your life. You know, and you're right. People, they just can't understand it. Carrie, for probably a good 15 years of my life, I was suicidally depressed daily. And the only reason I never took my life is because I believe that God created me to be do a certain thing and be a certain person and have certain things that I'm supposed to do. I am a missionary. And so that belief, you know, I believe God spoke to me when I was little. I mean, called me, pressed upon my heart to be a missionary at the age of 9. And I've done a lot of missions work in my life, despite my illness, because I'm a very determined person. But, you know, I just kept thinking this whole time, and I made a deal with God. I said, look, I will fight every battle that I can in my best ability if you promise me that you'll win the war. And that's what's happening. I'm still fighting battles. God is still reminding me he's won the war, that my health isn't what's going to keep me from doing what he's created me to do now. And, you know, people that are suicidally depressed, it's not that they want to kill themselves. They just want to get away from what their life is. And people also don't recognize, you know, a lot of times you'll hear somebody say, if I could just walk away from my life and go somewhere else and start a whole new life. Well, people don't say that for the heck of it. They're doing that because they're depressed, and they might not even recognize they're depressed. A lot of times people don't realize they're depressed until it gets to the point that you start giving into it. You start believing what your head is telling you. And so that's why you have to surround yourself with support, and you have to surround yourself. You need to go see a counselor. I think everybody has at least one issue in their life they could go see a counselor about. You know, it's so important. I had medical issues, obviously, with EDS. I had surgery when I was 3, and it's considered medical trauma, what I had done. I had a tube from my kidney to my bladder that was backwards. Well, that caused my mom not to be able to potty train me because we didn't know. It was like reflux. So you can just imagine if the bladder fills up, it refluxed back into the kidney until it damaged the kidney. And that nearly killed me, that infection. That's one thing. But I had to be dilated once a week for a year when I was 3. Well, what they do, they put a metal rod into your urethra and they stretch it. With EDS, when you stretch your skin, it rips. The type of EDS that I have, there's a lot of types, but the type I have, it rips your skin. So here I am, 3 years old, having to be dilated. And then you had to urinate in a cup afterwards. I remember this like it was yesterday. And I couldn't go. I didn't want to go because when you urinate on a fresh open cut, that burns. And I'm three. And then my mom is telling me, you know, you're not trying. You tried it. She didn't understand. They had no idea that I had any of EDS or any issues. We had no idea that's what it felt like. She would have never pressured me to do that if she knew. But, you know, just trauma after trauma. And that trauma caused some very heavy emotional issues for me, you know, and so I used to not feel sorry for that little girl. I used to think, well, your mother was right. You didn't try. You were late. And just the fact that I can have compassion for myself, just that is so major to me because I hated myself, Carrie, so bad. Just, I hated every ounce of my being. And it was all false. I didn't have to hate myself, but I had just gotten to the point of being depressed so long, not recognizing it when it began, you know? And so it's just so important. And I think, you know, carnivore is great for losing weight. It's great for healing your joints. It's great for doing a lot of things, but the mindset, the depression, you're not going to, if I was completely healed because I ate some magical diet that made everything feel better, but I didn't deal with my depression, is it going to get me very far? And I, trust me, I've been on every diet that probably has ever been. And not a single one of them helped me with my depression. Do you know what helped me with my depression? Carnivore.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that you found this healing from your depression, because it just strikes so close to home for me. That was my biggest issue for like 15 years. I was on every medication, so many different diets, and nothing ever touched it. And it's like when you get that, when I was horribly depressed, I would have given anything. I always used to say this, I just want to be normal, like those other people I see that have joy in their lives and they smile. And I had an aunt that came over for Christmas, and she walked in and she saw one of her nieces, and she was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And I got so depressed seeing that, because I'm like, I will never experience that level of joy in my entire life, no matter what I do. I just want to be normal. But the thing with carnivore was, I got that normal, and then it's like, I'm more like the ant now, where I have that joy that I never thought I could have before. It's just incredible. Me and the brain fog going away too.
Yes, definitely. And you can't get rid of depression without getting rid of your brain fog. I mean, they go hand in hand, because that fog lets you not see the truth about yourself. You know, so I've also started I've started a blog. I don't really blog as much as I say I blog. My intentions are to, but I'm so busy now. But I really challenged myself, actually by the request of a counselor, to really challenge myself to look at the truth about what God says about me. And so what I do is I list my journal entry, and then I write the lie that I believed about myself. And then I write what the Bible says is the truth about me. And, you know, I couldn't have done that with brain fog. You have to be able to concentrate. My creativity is off the chart on carnivore. I think I've just finished publishing my 9th carnivore book in less than a year. And 4 of those are with my co-author Lynn, but I could have never done that before. I've wanted to be a published author my entire life. It just wasn't happening. Now, I mean, these books are just coming out. I've got at least probably, honestly, about 10 more that I've already made notes on, ready to publish on. That's a little bit crazy making, but, you know, definitely. One thing too that I want to talk to you about and ask you about too is weight loss on carnivore and our mindset with weight loss. Because one of the things that drove my depression the greatest was my weight and what I thought people thought about me in my weight, you know, because I was always told, you know, you're ugly. Nobody's going to want you. If you lose weight, everything will be better. And these were the old ladies in the back of the church, you know, the old ladies that sit on the back row with the purple hair, and, you know, they've got a lifelong of experience. So they're probably saying some wisdom there somewhere. Well, I think those are really mean things to say to people. I would never say that to anybody, but they thought they were helping. And I loved these women. I grew up in this small town lived there my whole life. These women like raised my mother. You know what I mean? Like just long seated, deep seated relationships with these people. But you know, the truth is I still get a little sensitive. And I think that you might relate to this too. When you hear people come on carnivore, like, oh, thank God, I lost 40 pounds. I was so fat. And I finally lost all of my fat. I was so fat. I lost 40 whole pounds. And meanwhile, there are some of us over here that need to lose 150, 200 pounds. How is that supposed to make you feel? You know, and that's one thing I want to encourage the carnivore crew, the group, the people that get on and do stuff like this, to be a little bit more sensitive. Yes, it's exciting that you lost that weight. And all, every single one of us that need to lose a lot of weight, we're hoping that's us and we're excited for you. But when you talk about how fat you were and you needed to lose 40 pounds, that's not being a fat person. You need to lose 200 pounds. It's again, they can't relate, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You know, another one that I get all the time that drives me insane. I don't know how many times I get a lot of comments on YouTube, but one of them was, I'm thinking about starting carnivore, but I'm worried about loose skin. Like what? That's your reason for not doing carnivore, is loose skin or losing weight? That's been the biggest epiphany too, is on carnivore. It's like so many people start it because they want to lose weight. And then almost every one of those people afterwards say, I don't even care about the weight loss. It's the depression went away. The brain fog went away. I feel better. I feel like a human for the first time. But so many of it enter it through the thought of weight loss.
Yes. And it's surprisingly, once they get on carnivore and their mind clears up, that they can see that start seeing the health benefits besides just, you know, what society is going to think about them. Hey, I finally lost weight. And, you know, Dr. Kilt says this all the time, that weight is not your problem. Weight is a symptom of your problem.
Right.
And that also has helped change my mindset, you know, and I know that also when I first started, I've had gastric bypass surgery. I mean, through the ringer of things I've tried to do to get rid of my weight. And I don't, at this point, I don't care if I lose another pound. Am I still a little bit sensitive about it? Well, maybe. I always say vanity flew out the window a long time ago. But when I feel a little bit better about myself emotionally, maybe, maybe not. I really don't know. The type of Ehlers that I have loose skin anyway. See, it's like rubber man at the, this isn't from losing weight. This is how my skin was when I was full here. Right. So, yeah, I'm very concerned about that. I feel like I've lost 70 pounds, but gained 30 years in my face. I look a lot older than I looked a year ago. And can I deal with that? You bet I can deal with that. Why? Because I can climb a flight of stairs that I haven't been able to do in 15 years. Right. You know, so does it really matter what I look like when I get to the top of the stairs? No, not at all. Is it going to matter if I can get to the top of the stairs? Yes, that might save my life one day from escaping somewhere, you know. I'm being a little bit facetious, but, you know, just one of the things that happened to me, though, is that I could, because of gastric bypass surgery, it's hard to eat enough fat. So I was trying to find creative ways to get my fat in and stay carnivore. And I had all kinds of comments from very well-meaning people. No, you can never do that. I can't do that. Well, I'm not you. And you're not me. And that's another very important thing to think about. If you're starting carnivore, you can't compare yourself. You can't do the exact same thing that everybody else is doing or somebody else is doing or whatever. You've got to find what works for you. And the best way that's going to happen if you just start. So then your brain fog can go away and then you can figure out what's best for you. It's all a process, you know, a little step by step. We should make a little diagram.
Right.
Steps, how it's easier to follow. But if I did this for weight, I would have sabotaged myself before lunch the first day, you know, because too many emotions involved in that. I knew that if I did the work of picking the right foods for myself and being consistent, it's not about perfection, consistency. Consistency builds on itself every single day, and that spells success. But, you know, you just got to find out what's right for you. And health, I knew that if I did this, I would get healthier and then my weight's going to do whatever it's supposed to do. I kind of also took the stance, it's really none of my business how much fat I have on my body. That's my health's business. You know, that belongs to my health, not to me. I didn't do it on purpose, right? So anyway.
No, that's all good stuff. I have a question for you. This hopefully this isn't too tough of a question, but you mentioned Dr. Kiltz. And one of the things I've heard him say many times is suffering equals strength. You've been through an incredible amount of trauma and suffering. Do you feel like maybe this is all part of God's plan to put you where you are now or where you're going towards?
I don't believe that God wants any of us to suffer. However, he can use that suffering in our lives to help us help other people. And it also builds strength in you, obviously, if you're an overcomer. I wasn't always an overcomer. I think I'm way more determined than I am an overcomer. Maybe that's not true, but you know, maybe determination equals overcoming and vice versa. But I don't believe that God intends for any of us to suffer. But the truth is, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where sin is there, and it's not the perfect paradise that he created in the beginning. And so we are going to suffer. The Bible tells us you will have suffering. You will have trials and tribulations. And that's human nature. It's just the way that life is. But the difference is when you learn to depend on God and when you put your faith in God and you get yourself out of the way and you realize that he's your source, he's the one that is in control of your life. If you know, you can't lean on your own understanding. We mess things up when we decide by ourselves all the time, you know? And so definitely people are encouraged and inspired because I'm still here smiling, even though I've had all of these issues. And I used to not really talk about my issues with people because one, I didn't have the energy. But two, you know, it often becomes a game. I don't see this in the carnivore community. Maybe just a tiny bit. I used to have to do saline IVs for my POTS. I did it for 6 years, 6 or 7 years, 3 days a week. And it was 6 hours at a time. And I would go to the hospital and sit in an infusion room every week and do this. And I met so many people there that had cancer or they had, you know, organ replacements. Just it's huge what people are in there for. Long list. And, you know, it was almost like a competition. Oh, well, I'm here because my cancer is this and it's going to do this to me. And, you know, and I had another friend that had the same thing as me. And we would get to about the third thing on our list. And the other people would be like, oh, never mind. I don't have anything compared to you. And I didn't mean for it to be that way, but it gets to be a comparison with people, you know, and that's another thing. You can't compare your healing with someone else. Women don't heal as quickly on carnivore as men do. Women don't heal as quickly on anything as men do. And that's something that we have to remember as well. You know, men don't have quite as many hormonal issues they have to go through. There are some, but not as many. And more women have autoimmune diseases than men do. You know, so there's just the comparison thing, I think, is an interesting aspect of carnivore. Again, it goes kind of back to that whole weight loss thing. And we just can't help it. We're a society that weight is important. We can't help it. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not accusing anybody. Yeah. But I would just say, be mindful of those around you, you know, and just because, you know, maybe you're completely underweight and you're going to get on carnivore and your body needs to weigh more. You're going to gain weight. I've heard people being very concerned. Oh, my gosh, I'm gaining weight. Well, how much did you weigh when you started? 105 pounds. I'm a full grown adult, but I weigh 105 and I'm gaining weight. Are you kidding? That's because you were underweight. Right. You know, your body's going to do what it needs to do. Just let it eat it for your health. Yeah. Don't start carnivore for weight loss.
It's such good advice. I've experienced this with my wife. I found incredible healing through carnivore. Way quicker than most. It's a huge blessing. I'm thankful for it. I almost need to have a disclaimer on some of my videos. And my wife, she's been doing carnivore gen for over a year now. And it's been a lot slower. And she's had, it's just like bullying at some point. Like, I think people subconsciously, I don't know, some of them, it's not just like evil intent, but they were saying to her, like, why aren't you losing weight as fast as Carrie did? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And I went back and I'm like, she delivered triplets. What kind of trauma does that put on your body? I never delivered triplets. Like, she has a lot more. And one of the things I learned on carnivore is your body will prioritize healing. You, Amy, have an incredible amount of healing to go through before your body's even going to care anything about weight loss. My wife's been through an incredible amount of trauma delivering triplets plus one and all the other health issues, removing her gallbladder and things like that. So it's like you said, everyone's on a completely different journey, and women are different than men. And then even comparing one man to another man is completely different because they've had their own trauma too. So that's all really, really good advice. I'm with you 100% on all of that. Just one quick question. I don't know if you touched on this, but people are going to be wondering, what led you to carnivore?
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Well, I mean, like, where did you hear about carnivore? Because without YouTube, I don't know that I ever would have found carnivore. How did you find it?
So actually, I was going to church in Dallas. First Baptist Church Dallas was my church home. And I had some really good friends there that saw me struggling, you know, like, that's a big, big church. It takes up like a whole city block. And so to get from Sunday school to the service, it was a long walk, a very long walk. I couldn't do it. So I would take my wheelchair to church, and people just, you know, they just saw me struggling. And my friend said, hey, we've been doing carnivore for however many, I think 4 or 5 years. And they were like, I just want you to try it. I think it would really benefit you. They said nothing to me about my weight. They just saw my struggle, you know, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I started January 20th. It's so funny. On January 19th, I had gone grocery shopping, and because I couldn't stand up long enough to cook an egg. I mean, I had frozen meals, you know, all things that I could microwave, nothing I could cook, you know, but just microwave. And I woke up on January 20th after buying all these groceries. I would usually buy for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, you know, because I hated going to the store. I woke up the next morning and went, I'm starting carnivore today. And I went, wait a minute, I just bought all these groceries. Okay, well, let's see what I can do about it. So I loaded them all up in my car. And I drove around my town until I found a family that looked very needy and just said, hey, do y'all need some groceries? I'm starting a new eating plan. And I gave them all my groceries, you know, and people ridiculed me for that. They were like, well, why would you give them that food? I'm like, are you kidding? They had nothing to eat. What I was giving them is better than nothing. And it was benefiting me. And, you know, so I didn't at least throw it away. I lived in Nigeria for a while. I saw some very hungry people, you know, they need, but yeah, that's how I learned. And I have not had a single problem wanting other things on carnivore. It's been the easiest thing I have ever done in my entire life. And I'll tell you what I started out eating. Eggs, already cooked hamburger patties. That's still the majority of my diet right there. And hot dogs, because I could not stand up and cook anything. So I thought, how can I make this the easiest on myself so I can still follow the plan? I got pretty creative. You know, I would take my lunch to church with me because there was no place to buy anything. It was over an hour away from home. So I would just take my lunch ahead like I was going to work or to school, you know, and I just planned ahead and made out at the beginning of the week. I decided I would do the 90-day journey. And I thought, gosh, if I hate this at the end of 90 days, I never have to do this another single day in my life if I don't want to. If I feel better, I'll keep going and see what's going to happen after that. Maybe curiosity is a good thing to have too, you know, but I did end up writing a book about that to help people that do the Dr. Barry's 90-day challenge, you know, because you get halfway in and you think, oh, this is too hard, or gosh, I miss those Oreos, man, I need, you know, and so this book is about, follows a 12-step journey with some scripture put in and how to change your mindset and how to believe real things about yourself and not things you've just been told. you know, that's one of the things that I'm passionate about.
Was Dr. Barry a big part of your journey?
Dr. Barry is the first person that my friends told me about. And so I started watching him. And I was talking to Dr. Barry last week. And, you know, I said, people, the number one thing that people see, I saw my primary care for the first time in a year, just the other day, because I needed a script for something else, for a splint, actually. And he just couldn't get over, not just, I've seen him since 2008. So it's the most amount of weight I'd ever lost seeing him. He was excited about that. And he couldn't just accept it. He said, tell me again what you eat. And I told him, he goes, are you sure you're not taking weight loss drug? And I said, no. And he goes, well, you look like a completely different person because your countenance is different. You're happy. I've never seen you so happy. Dr. Barry said the same thing. He said, Amy, the first time that I met you, you looked like death warmed over you. I could tell you were a very sick woman, you know? And I was like, thank you, I think. You know, so yeah, but Dr. Barry has been very supportive. And the most important thing is getting a support group like Healing Humanity. Can't do this without a support group. Dr. Barry's group is a great support group, you know, definitely. But yeah.
Yeah, I was in Dr. Barry's group when I first started too. It's such a huge part. We're just living in a world where it's so weird to do this, and everywhere you go, it's like the only addiction where people don't want to help you, right? If you're trying to overcome alcohol, you probably get some help from people instead of encouraging you to have more alcohol. But with food, it's just, you're encouraged everywhere, every holiday, every get together is just more and more food. So having that community, I think, is huge.
You know, that's one thing about my illness compared to other people and that are doing carnivore. And it's so exciting. And everybody, we all love to talk about ourselves. I mean, that's human nature. But everybody that does carnivore, maybe because they have cancer, so many people we've seen with people with cancer that their cancer either completely goes into remission, goes away, or they succumb to it, but they have a better life on that way to succumbing to it. Because sometimes, you know, carnivore doesn't keep you from dying, right? But carnivore helps you along your way. And so, you know, I remember being in the infusion room and people would come in and they would have cancer. Well, their pastor showed up. They had three or four relatives that came to sit with them. And, you know, people are bringing them potluck to their house and coming to do their laundry. And you know, meantime, these people are still working a full-time job, just leaving to go to treatment. I'm at my house. There are days that I could not even get up to get a drink of water. I was so sick. Living by myself, there was nobody bringing me anything. And my friends knew that I had this. And I think because it was so unknown, people are afraid of what they don't know. But I'm telling you, Carrie, I had zero support. Nobody ever came to my house and said, oh, you must be feeling bad. Let me help you. Not a single time. And so, you know, people that go on carnivore and they have one or two issues, you know, and it sounds like it's, oh, my world was just over. It took me a long time to understand why. If they knew half of the things that, if they knew a tenth of the things that I deal with, they would be excited they only had one thing or two things wrong. But then I realized I've been sick my whole life. People that have cancer, sometimes it's the first time they've ever had a medical issue in their life. You know, and so I had to become more understanding and compassionate for people, you know, that have issues that they've never had before. And even if it's one issue that's not nearly as bad as something you've gone through personally or somebody you know, doesn't mean that you don't validate. You know, so that took away that comparison. I can happily and understandingly validate other people's issues, because I stopped comparing them to my own, you know. My example of that, I have a friend that she used to be a nurse, and she called me one day. Oh, and I said, are you okay? Oh my gosh, no. And I said, what's wrong with you? Do you need help? Oh, and I said, tell me, I'm about to call an ambulance. What is wrong with you? I'm coming to get you. And she said, I have a hangnail. I hung up on her. But then I realized, you know, I broke bones just taking my shoes off. I put my foot on the floor and break a bone. Well, not everybody does that. So obviously my pain level is typically higher. I would go, oh, okay, that just broke. Yeah, if you write about something, it was put somebody else in the grave. But that comparison, the validation, you know, all of those kind of things are important to support each other. Speaking of support, to support each other with carnivore, because it can get a, you know, another, I've heard somebody say, well, I was headed toward being in a wheelchair. It was just the most awful thing on earth. Okay, well, what, how can I talk about that with you then? Because I was, and it was freeing for me. So it's a little, you know, things are, I don't know, sometimes things seem a little bit backwards, but yeah. Carnivore helps understanding your understanding. I wish that you and I both had a way to explain how much different your brain functions on carnivore.
It's like the biggest thing for me, 100%, just getting out of that brain fog. I know I've said this many times, but it's so true. You can't see the fog while you're in the fog. And there's so many people just going through their lives and they think that's normal. Plopping down on the couch, doing the bare minimum, just having like no energy to think about anything whatsoever. That's been the biggest game changer for me, but it's one of the, that's the thing with weight. Like it's visual or whatever, people can see, oh, look, this person lost this much weight, but they can't see someone losing their brain fog or regaining their cognitive ability. So it's harder for people to wrap their brain around and understand, but that's the whole reason I'm doing the whole documentary is mental health issues, the brain fog and the depression, anxiety, overcoming it. That was the only reason I wanted to do the documentary in the first place. Cause like you said, I thought that was me. I thought it was just that's what all the doctors told me. I thought it was an issue with me, a chemical imbalance in my brain. I never in a million years would have thought it was just the foods I was eating, just the nutrition. And your story is so powerful too, because I hear these themes interviewing so many carnivores and having that mental clarity come back so quickly. I hear this, like, did you say like 3-4 weeks you started noticing it?
Oh yeah. Within 2 weeks, I was like, huh, I'm not upset about that today. I would have gotten wet. Wow. And I was shocked. I didn't know what was happening.
I had the same thing where I had a whoa moment, like, whoa, something's going on different here. Because for 15 years, I was on every SSRI antidepressant medication. None of them ever touched it, even a fraction of within 3 weeks on carnivore. I just think back like 10 years ago, I would have given every penny in the bank, mortgaged my house and gone and lived out on the street to have some solution to this hopeless depression. And here it is the whole time. It was just the stupid food I was eating. You just want everyone to hear this message.
And you know, another thing that I love about carnivore, you have lots of choices on carnivore, but one of the things that I enjoy for myself, finding what has worked for me, I'm the type of person, if I'm trying to make a decision, I think it's a blessing that I have so many options with as many limitations that I have so many options of every choice to make in my life. And one of the things, I'm like the kid that says, you know, if you say, well, open the cabinet and there's 10 colors of cups, what color do you want? I would never pick one because I would have all these reasons of, I want the green one. No, I want the red. I tell God all the time, okay, remember, I need to make this decision. I need two choices. Do you want the red cup or the yellow cup? I don't need a bunch of options, but carnivore's kind of done that for me. And maybe that's one of the reasons I find it so comfortable, because there's this group of things that I know are going to make me healthy. And that's all I need to choose from. I go to the grocery store. I remember I was with Lynn. We were in Arizona. I was with Lynn and David, and we stopped by a convenience store to use the restroom. And so I'm waiting for the restroom. I'm standing there. I'm looking at the cupcakes and the ho-hos and the whatever, you know, the ding-dongs, whatever they have. I don't even know the names of them anymore. That I used to, by the way, my mom would send me to school with diet food and kids would ask me, do you want to trade your green beans for my ding dong? I'm like, of course I do. I'm not getting them at home. Of course, I'm not dumb. Give me your, you know, anyway, that's another part of my trauma story, honestly. But I looked at those things and I thought, oh, that chocolate one right there, I feel that wax in my mouth. That is not chocolate. I feel the wax in my mouth. Oh, that one, I can feel how thirsty I was after eating that one. That one, I feel how chewy that was, and it hurt my teeth. And it was no desire whatsoever. I looked at him with disgust, and we didn't plan to stand right. They didn't, you know, we didn't plan putting those next to the bathroom, right? So I was amazed that I had those feelings about that and could remember how awful. So that whole, you know, this is a group I'm not going to eat from. Here's the group that I get to eat from. You know, maybe, I don't know, but that has helped me stay and focus on carnivore so much better. also think, oh, it's my birthday. I'm going to have a piece of cake because I deserve it. Do you really? What is that doing for you? Is that loving yourself? If you're going to love yourself, why are you going to give yourself something that you know?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
If not from your own experience, but from listening to everybody else that talks about it, that you're going to probably have diarrhea from all the sugar. You're going to end up aching. You're going to be a little bit depressed. You're going to be twice as hungry the next day because that's what sugar does. You know you're going to feel bad. How is that loving yourself? Why not use your creativity, because now you have the ability to do that, and think of a great bacon cake you can make yourself on hamburgers. Wrap them a hamburger in bacon and do a new thing. How about going out for an activity instead of eating something? Do you know, those kind of, I wish that I could be more of a voice. I think this is why I enjoy writing the children's books so much, because you know, there's so many ideas that I have. I've never had my own children, but I taught school for a while. But I have all these ideas of how to help kids learn better ways of doing things than traditionally what we all grew up doing.
Can you talk a little bit more about the children's books? Like, what do you have for the children's books, and where can people find them?
So definitely, we sell all of them on Amazon. And I'm looking here. Let me dig through my box of books that I've published. I actually have four that Lynn and I have written together. And we have, first of all, we wrote was Healing for Humanity fundraising book. And I'm sorry that it's backwards. But anyway, Superhuman Power Foods for Humanity. And I typically come up with the titles. I need to start making it. They're all long. I need to make them shorter. But anyway, so I wrote this story and Lynn did the graphics for it. I found these little guys before we knew. Neither one of us knew how to do all the graphics and stuff. But anyway, this is a little story about kids that go on a field trip, and their field trip is learning about the proper human diet and about how sad foods, we call them sad foods, standard American diet foods, are not good. It's a little comic book, and it has... the story is in a comic, and then there's pages in the back of the book so you can write your own comic story. And there's coloring pages. It's interactive. There's coloring pages. And there's activity pages. There's a crossword puzzle in here. There is a place to write your own recipes and come up with your own story, and place to write your own snacks. And a portion of the proceeds for this book, this is the comic book page, will go to the Healing Humanity movie. And we're really excited about these. These characters will be starring in other books eventually. Power Beef, Power Bacon, Power Butter, and Power Egg. It's not probably the most creative names, but we were just starting. So there's that book. And then we also did one for Dr. Barry for the... Sugar Diabetes Society. And so this one is called Sugar QB, the Sugar Monster. And it's starring Bonnie and Beckett. We actually took pictures of them, and Lynn did such an awesome job of putting them into cartoon form. Aren't they cute?
Awesome. I just imagine the smile on their faces when they got to see that.
Yes, I handed it to Nisha and Dr. Barry last year at a conference, and I said, okay, turn the book over and look at the back of the book. And Nisha immediately started crying. And that's Granny Barry, Dr. Barry's grandmother, gets on his lives a lot. And so I put her in the story too. So, but that, you know, the kids go visit Granny Barry, and Granny Barry's like, why are you so grumpy? And they're like, we don't know, but look at all these treats that we got at school. So Sugar QB goes in and sprinkles treats and sugar in everybody's lunch and in their snacks. And so Granny Barry's like, here they are, grumpy too, by the way. Granny Barry's like, well, I've told y'all not to eat this stuff. What can I do to help you? Oh, I know who can come and help. And so she calls in the superhuman power foods to come and talk to the kids and tell them.
Awesome.
A portion of this book is going to go to the American Diabetes Society. Then we are writing holiday books because we know that every holiday involves what?
Food.
Treats, sugar. So we did one for Christmas. Santa became a carnivore, and he taught the elves. See, the elves are sad because they eat so much candy. Their tummies are hurting, right? And so Santa becomes a carnivore, and he teaches the elves how to eat carnivore. And guess what happens? Look how skinny Santa got. But what do you think happens to the elves once they start eating carnivore? They become better workers, and they're happy, and they get more toys made for Santa. And then they have a big carnivore feast. And so this is probably one of my favorite. My dad, by the way, was the town Santa in my hometown for 40 plus years. So I put him in the book. This is an actual picture of him.
Oh, and wow.
He's sleeping, and the guy's, you know, she's eating a candy bar. And so he's sleeping because he's so exhausted. But at the end of the book, and this is actually, I'm a photographer, so this has been fun using some of my photography in the book. At the end, Santa's awake. Look what he's holding. Bacon.
Nice.
Yeah. And so let's see. We also did one for Valentine's Day. And this one is also an interactive book. This is how to say I love you. And we were hoping to teach the kids how to do sweet things and give people treats that didn't involve food or candy. And so the lady in the story, her cat runs away, and she goes to Valentine Way town to find the cat and ask the children to help her. And the kids were like, well, what candy are you going to pay us with? That's how we did it. She goes, oh, no, we're not going to do that. So she taught the kids how to be carnivore, and they all became happier. And then the back portion of the book is, for instance, here's a kid hugging his grandpa, and it says, choose those you love and give them a big hug to say I love you. So that's a treat you give them. Give someone a love, someone who is lonely a hug. Give someone who is sad a hug. Can you name two people who you love who might need a hug? And so we made it interactive in that way to challenge the kids to think, do some critical thinking. And then there's more. Lynn and I just split on this one. We do all of those together, but we split on this one. She just finished one for Easter, and it's ready and published and on Amazon. And then I wrote this one. Dr. Barry asked me to write some novels for him for the kids. And so this one I just finished, The Snack Shack Chronicles, Bonnie and Beckett's Adventures of Sugar's Danger. And so this is a little book where they have a clubhouse, and every time they go to the clubhouse, there's some kid has brought some sugar something in there, or a sugar ninja has snuck in. And so it's a chapter book. And this is for kids like around age 7 to 10. And so then I also wrote a second one, I don't even know the name of it. I just published it 3 days ago. But these kids, it's for older kids, also chapter book. A carnival comes to their town, and everybody starts acting crazy, and they find out that there is extra sugar being put in everything. And so they are detectives, and Bonnie and Beckett are detectives as well in this book. And so then they solve the clue of what happened. And so we're going to do that with each chemical that, you know, like seed oils. And so we'll have at least 11 more books coming through the detective stories. So it's so exciting. And it's so, I don't know if you can hear the joy that I have about doing it, because I want to teach the kids that we've got to get them when they're young and don't let them grow up with lies like we did, not only from doctors, but, you know, about believing things about ourselves.
Yeah. It's so important. Initially, when I started doing this documentary and all this work, it was because of me and my health issues. And then you look at this next generation of kids that are coming up and the foods they're eating, the chemicals that they're eating, it's gotten so much worse than even from when I was little. It's so important. I'm so happy you're doing all the books. I'll have links in the description for all of the books, and I'll have a link to Amy's YouTube channel as well. One last question, Amy. What advice would you give to someone that's considering carnivore? Maybe they're suffering, maybe they've had a lot of trauma, but they just can't wrap their brain around it. It just sounds too crazy to them.
So they need to set some goals. And I call this strategic goal setting. And I decided real quickly, I'll tell you what the top things are. You got to define your vision. What is it that you want? And then you break it down in goals, specific objectives, like how are you going to get what you want? And then you have to understand your why. Why do you want to do this? You can make all the goals in the world, but if you don't know what your why is that you want to do it, it's not going to matter to you anyway. And then you need to create a strategy, the how. So how are you going to, just like I had to figure out, oh, well, I had to learn how to cook an egg in the microwave. That might sound really stupid. I wouldn't have been able to eat an egg otherwise, you know, so you got to figure out how you're going to do it. Am I going to do this with support? Am I going to do it on my own? Am I going to tell people? I'm going to keep it, whatever. And then you got to take action. You just got to step out and do it. Just take the next right step. And those strategic goal planning, you know, it's the easiest thing. Then you need to measure your progress, evaluate how far you've come. Don't ever look at how far you still have to go. Make a list of everything that's better. Don't make a list of everything that needs to be healed, because we look at the big picture and we miss the small little things. And it's the small things that encourage us. I don't care if I've lost all my weight, but you know what? I can go anywhere that I want to now because I can stand up long enough. And I haven't even told you about the holes in my heart I'm waiting to have surgery for, you know, so I'm looking at the fact that I've set myself up that now I can have surgery. I'll do better in surgery. Not that I have to have surgery. So that's, you know, keeping that progress in mind. And then adjust and refocus your goals. Do those for, if you want to do them for a week, if you want to do them for 30 days, if you want to do it for 3 days, after that period, adjust, look at it. What's working, what's not working, and continue doing that. And I did a goal set every 30 days because of the 90 days. And I saw what needed. I also took pictures of everything that I ate. And I noted if I was hungry before I ate it, how I felt during eating and how I felt after. Was it enough to fill me up? Did I like it? Did I not? And that really helped me get the visual instead of trying to remember, you know, because I still had all that brain fog. I don't need to do that now. I can. But anyway, that's the advice that I definitely starting. You got to know your why, set some goals, and take pictures of everything you eat. It'll be a good journey record to look at.
That's really good advice. Just being intentional, taking the pictures, having the goals, and writing things down too, I found is really helpful. A lot of people say, I have this goal, and then they just keep it in their head instead of writing it down or taking the pictures and being really intentional about it. It makes a huge difference for sure.
Something about writing it down means it does something with your commitment level, you know, like mentally it does something with, okay, well, if anybody found this, now I've got to be responsible to explain why I didn't do this. At least, you know, if you keep it in your head, you can hide it all you want and hide it from yourself. That's the other thing.
Right. Absolutely. This has been wonderful, Amy. I could talk to you for like 3 more hours. Really appreciate it. Amy's going to be out at our meetup in Tennessee coming up soon with Dr. Barry. I really appreciate you sharing your story, though. I think it's really going to inspire a lot of people. You've been through so much and you've come so far. It's really, really inspiring. So thank you for being brave and being willing to get out there and share your story.
You know, it's the truth. This is the most helpful, the most hopeful. Carnival has been the most helpful thing, but this is the most hopeful I've ever been in my entire life about anything. And every day, honestly, every day, I see more and more hope because of my consistency. But, you know, I feel like I have a future. I feel like I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me in the next 3 years. You know, like I know that I'm certainly going to be doing better than I'm doing right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much, Amy. Everyone go check out Amy and all the amazing books she's putting together, her YouTube channel. I'll have links in the description below. Thank you so much, Amy. Have a great day.
Hey, you too.